This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you along as we talk with Tabitha Price at Wycliffe Associates, Vice President of Translation Services. She's with us today to update us on the work of translating the Bible into languages around the globe. We spoke with them last year about a particular project they were working on to help folks who are unable to see or hear and getting the Bible to them. Now, an update on how COVID has impacted the translation efforts of Wycliffe Associates. Tabitha, thanks for being with us today on the program. As we spoke last year with another individual, and this is COVID has been a weird time for everyone, and it's changed a lot. How has the pandemic altered how Bible translation is conducted? What has it done to your mission?
Well, I would say there's a couple major ways that it's affected us at Wycliffe Associates and our translators. The first one is that in some instances, we've seen accelerations in completions because people have literally been stuck at home. They haven't been able to go to work, or they've only been able to go to work. They haven't been able to do anything else, so they have more flexible time, and they're spending more of that time on translation. So we've seen an amazing number of completions with people actually dedicating more of their time to translation in this less busy season. That's the good news. That's like, wow, this is cool. God opened up doors, provided time for his word to be translated. The challenge, the aspect that has changed that is a real challenge, is that without travel, we are very restricted in being able to provide on-the-ground support to get new languages started or to help languages that are struggling. So if they're going great, if they already knew what they were doing, the translators were already had good leaders in their village, then they're able to continue, and those are the ones that have accelerated and completed more quickly. If they were newly trained, had less leadership available locally, or haven't been trained at all, those are the ones that are staggering and lagging behind, because even within a region, even people that do know and have been trained can't travel to the next region over in their same country to help another language group. So the challenge that we're facing and that we're really working to overcome is, how do we provide support to the ones that need that extra training, need that extra leadership, when we can't actually go there or even send someone there to support them?
Okay. So are we seeing permanent changes, or is that something you're still balancing out then?
Well, I think a couple of the things that are permanent are, we've worked to build out our training so that it's more accessible online, and we're still doing that. Now, understand, a lot of the translators that follow our training pattern don't live where they have internet. So when we build it out online, the only way for them to access it is once they can travel to a city, they can download it and then go back to their village. So it's not a sudden cure, but we are working hard to build that out because it does put them one step closer. And we feel like that's something that will be useful for the long term. There are places in the world where we just may not travel anymore. And this will be a useful solution for the long term to have available our training and our resources all for free online. And then also connectivity with us via several of the different social media apps, so that when they are, if they do have cell phone service or they are in town, there's that long distance connectivity. I think that's a permanent change. And we're seeing that we're being able to develop resources to help support that permanent change. On the other hand, we are also experiencing the joy of seeing countries open and of being able to get to at least a central location where we can bring other people. So I think we'll still be quite involved in on-the-ground training, but it might be more centralized. We might do regional training in a city center where we can all get together and then send them out and launch them to train in their regions, which is really a great adjustment. It's something that's been in our heart and a vision of ours for a long time, to pass off even the training to more regional, more local Christians. And this has just kind of forced us to drive down that path faster.
Okay. Now, Wycliffe Associates was, when I spoke to you folks last, there was a talk of a certain goal by a certain year. You know, how has that speeded up because of the pandemic then? And give my listeners some background as to, you know, what you're kind of striving towards at this point.
Well, our vision is still a Bible in every language by 2025. And understandably, we absolutely trust God to either miraculously fulfill that vision or give us wisdom to adjust it. We have not adjusted it yet. We continue to see, as I said earlier, we continue to see a surprising amount of completions during this COVID period. But without additional starts, we still don't have a clear path to how we're actually going to achieve that goal. So we're in the phase now of really, we know it's God's heart for every language to get scripture, and we're working as hard as we can to get to that goal and trusting him to open doors we're not aware of yet. At the same time that we're surprised and thankful for the doors he is opening. We've had, since October of last year, October of 2020, we've had 64 New Testaments complete their translations.
You know, if you asked me to name 20 languages, I could probably do it with a stretch. But, you know, I think people who aren't that familiar with languages don't realize how much is out there. You know, what's some of the recent completions that you've done that might surprise people that, you know, these haven't existed to this point?
Sure. I mean, I think of the African continent, and some of us who have traveled a little bit or remember geography, we're like, oh, yeah, they were colonized by Europe. So some of them are French and some are Portuguese, but we don't think past that to actually the African countries are a conglomerate of tribal groups. So for example, in Zambia, 70 tribal languages, they have two major languages of communication amongst those tribal languages, but they have 70 tribal languages. And that would be an example of a place where we've had four completions this year. And we've got several more. We have a dozen more that are perched to start and several more that are in process. But people wouldn't look at Zambia and think, oh, that represents more than, you know, one to three languages. If I asked someone, I would guess they'd say, oh, Bible needs for one country in Africa. Okay, maybe five languages if they're really thinking it through. But Zambia is not that large of a country, and we're talking 70 languages.
Yeah, that's it. There's just there's so much out there that and probably some that are close to the others. But, you know, you got to determine which of these is more crucial to get to first. Is that prioritizing kind of always an issue?
Well, yes. A lot of times what you find is that other language researchers or even in the past decade, people have looked at the languages and said, oh, these two are close enough. They probably can, you know, share a scripture. And then we talk to church leaders from those two languages and they'll say, you know, people think we can share scripture, but we don't really understand when they bring their Bible to our village. We really don't understand it. And so then we realize, okay, on paper, the academic view looks like these languages are really close. There's whatever, you know, on paper, maybe it looks like 90% overlay. Well, a lot of times, if you use the same alphabet for languages, that can happen. It can look very similar. Portuguese and Spanish look very similar in writing. And sometimes a Portuguese speaker can understand a Spanish speaker, but no Portuguese speaker would be content only ever having a Spanish Bible. And that's what we're finding a lot of times in these other dialects, is that we thought, oh, they're really close. They understand each other. They communicate. They can use the same Bible. And then when you talk to them on the ground, when you talk to the local leaders and pastors, they're like, you know, we really can't use their Bible and it actually speak to our heart.
Who are the translators? I mean, you've got to have people that know the languages to start with. I mean, how do you, from where do you gather these people, and how do they come end up at Wycliffe?
So our biggest goal is to involve local churches in the regions where we serve. So we don't have any expatriate or what we would call other tongue translators, outsiders translating into a language that is not their own. What we do is connect with a local church in Zambia, for example. I'll use that again because I already did, so we'll keep it all in one ecosystem here. In Zambia, we have a pastor, Bishop Mumba, who is responsible for a region of his country in his denomination. And he has done evangelism and church planting, and he has several disciples that also work with him. So he's a regional Christian leader in Zambia. And one of our friends introduced him to us, and he said, yeah, I have four languages that I'm responsible for in my area of leadership that don't have scripture in their own heart language. They use the language of wider communication. They use like the national language. So we invited him to go speak to the people of those languages, the churches in those villages, and ask them if they wanted to send a group to be trained in translation. And they would be trained by us. They would receive the resources and the tools that they need to do the translation, but they would be the translators. They already, obviously, they know their mother tongue. They grew up speaking it, but they also know the language of wider communication, which in Zambia, everybody's educated in English. So they already know English, and typically they'll know one or two of the other languages of wider communication. So they come to be trained by us already having the language piece in place. They know 2, 3, 4 languages. We train them in English. They can totally receive it in English in Zambia, not everywhere in the world, but in Zambia, they can receive all the training in English. They can begin translating directly from a source text in English into their mother tongue. And Bishop Mumba is the leader that is responsible for guiding them, supervising what they're doing, supporting their checking strategies, and helping them to get all the way to completion. So we train, but we are not the translators, nor do we own the project. Once we've trained them, they take on full responsibility, and a local leader is the one that really guides the project.
Okay. I imagine you can, with these people you work with, you become even more aware of how few Americans know more than one language as compared to other countries. Is that does that tend to jump out at you?
Yes, it's one of the things that we find everywhere we go. We will sit down to start a training, and a lot of times you can imagine they're used to Westerners being educated, and they think, oh, you're coming in with all this education and we don't know as much as you do. And we often will start off to kind of level the playing field with a little bit of a game of how many in this room speak 5 languages or more? And half the room will raise their hand. You know, there's 15, 20 people there to be trained in translation, and 12 of them will raise their hand. And then it's like, how many of you speak 3 languages? And so we go down until it's how many of you speak 1 language? And there are a couple of the Americans on the training team that will raise their hand. And then we say, you might think that we have the education and the background and the knowledge that you need, but you already have more knowledge than we do in language. And that's why you're perfectly positioned to translate. That's what God has given you that none of us have. And it really is a way for them to open their eyes and understand, oh my goodness, I grew up speaking multiple languages, and that gives me an edge. That gives me an advantage for stewarding God's word in my language. So that ownership piece really is elevated, and church-owned Bible translation doesn't seem so crazy to them. They suddenly begin to realize, oh, God did position us. He has given us gifts of knowledge and education that can be used in this way.
I was hesitating whether to ask that question if it was going to sound like I was being insulting to Americans, but it wasn't a planned question, but it had a really fascinating answer to me. So tell me a bit about starting a new when you start a new translation. What's what goes into the effort, the finances, etc.
So Wycliffe Associates works, we have a marketing team that works very hard to express the needs to Western donors so that they have the opportunity to contribute and really be a part of seeing the advancement of Bible translation in the world, because we do feel like one of the things that we can contribute is the finances, and another one is the technology. So we have an IT team that builds fantastic free programs to help accelerate Bible translation. And then we have a content team that also creates all kinds of free resources. And what I mean by free is that they are copyrighted under a CC by SA licensing so that anybody can access them on the internet, download them, use them in any way they want without getting permission or paying for copyright permission. So these are some of the things that we feel we have to offer the local churches. So when we go into a training, one of the first things we do after inspiring them to understand that they actually are uniquely educated and qualified to be part of the project Then we go into explaining our resources. We do very brief training on technology. It's not a technology course. It's here is a software program that will help you with translating your scripture. We walk through a very simple 8-step process of translation. And then as soon as we've walked them through it, we have them start to try it. So even at a training event, they will try what we're teaching them and they will translate a passage or a portion of scripture. Often, if we are able to actually be together on location for a couple weeks at a time, often they will bring a group and be trained and be able to translate even like the Gospel of Mark, a short gospel. And they'll translate it as we're training them so that they're using the steps we're teaching them. Then we go through the resources that we've provided and we show them how to use those resources to check their work and how to take what they've done, take the part they've translated, back to their village and ask other community leaders, other pastors, or even teachers to look over their work and help them to improve their translation. So the training event is really just to launch them. It's to give them the tools they need to get started. And then we have people, regional people, partners who have already worked in translation before, like Bishop Mumba that I mentioned in Zambia, who will do the mentoring and guiding and leading the team. And they always have access to some of our trainers as well. So they can come back to us and say, we're struggling in this area. We don't know how to get these difficult passages checked. And we can either send them information. When the world opens up more, we'll actually go and do additional training. So there's an ongoing relationship. But what you asked about with the beginning, that kind of training is really just to launch them, to give them exactly what they need to get started.
All righty. Give me just a quick summary of the organization where you're based, a little history before we end the program.
Sure. Wycliffe Associates came about in 1968 in response to a recognition that we really needed to do more to provide support to Bible translators, to take off their plate all of the side work that would normally make them so busy. So over the past more than 50 years, we've really focused on supporting and accelerating Bible translation, not by translating ourselves, but by doing the training and by providing resources. So our offices are in Orlando, and we have teams in IT that build the programs. We have a marketing team that helps with the fundraising. We have a strategic partnership team that does what you were saying, like, how do you find translators? They're literally positioned all over the world. We have an Indian couple that works in India. We have a Nepali couple that works in Nepal. And they are constantly looking for more contacts. Who do you know that needs scripture? And bringing those people to us to say, do you want training? Do you want a partnership? And then we also have the translation services department, the one I'm responsible for, that develops all of the field training, that goes to the field when possible and does the training in person, that creates the online training resources, that stewards all the content, the free content I was telling you that we've built. We have a website called BibleInEveryLanguage.org. Anybody can go there and you can see all of our resources in English and in all the other languages that have chosen to upload their work. You can find all kinds of minority language scripture on that website. So anybody can go there and see our stuff, BibleInEveryLanguage.org.
All right. That was going to be my final question, and you already cover it. So we'll wrap the program up here. Tabitha Price has been our guest today on the program, Vice President of Translation Services with Wycliffe Associates. Tabitha, we appreciate you being with us on the program today and sharing this information with our listeners. And we want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.